If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. Read one verse of scripture for my text. A lot of times I have a mother preach on a Mother's Day morning, but God began to speak to my heart early in the week concerning this message. And so I'm doing my best to follow the leadership of God's presence and Spirit as He spoke to my heart. And I want to title this message this morning, Raising Eagles in a World Full of Vultures. Raising Eagles in a World Full of Vultures. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11. I'll let you stand real quickly. We'll read the scriptures. I'll let you be seated, and then we'll proceed to bring you the message that God's laid upon my heart. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11 says, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. When a mother eagle is expecting her young, she prepares a large nest high on the edge of the cliff. She fashions it out of large branches and sharp thorns. She then fills that nest with layers upon layers of soft feathers and anything cushiony that she can find to stuff it with. Finally, when the babies arrive and starts getting all comforty and cozy in the nest, Mama feeds them, watches over them, but as they start to grow and begins to produce their own feathers, Mama slowly begins to prepare them for life. And as they mature, this is what she does. The mama eagle starts removing that soft and cozy feathers. Little by little, day after day, until the nest is no longer soft and cozy, but only the larger sticks and the thorns are exposed. The nest now becomes almost unbearable to get comfortable in. It's causing the eaglets to jump, hop around. That's teaching them to get their wings, more strength in them. Flapping their wings each day, they become a little stronger. Mom does this deliberately, knowing full well that unless she forces the little ones out of their comfort zone, they will never take the leap of faith, and they will never know what it means to soar. This is not an example to push your kids out of the house as fast as you can. It's an example to prepare them for what's happening outside the house. Finally, when the little eaglets can't take no more, they perch themselves on the edge of the nest, looking down over the cliff at the valley way, way far down below. No doubt their little hearts are filled with fear, but their home has become somewhat unbearable. They unknowingly, surely, this nest can't be much worse than what awaits them down below. With much hesitation, they finally get the courage to take the leap of faith, immediately realizing their wings are untested and they have no skills, no experience, and they continue to plunge faster and faster to the valley below. Just when it seems like that all hope is lost, their goose is cooked. No pun intended. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, Mom shows up, comes swooping down under them and catches them on her wings, just like the scripture tells us. And for the first time, they know what it is to soar, as Mama has prepared them for to take that leap of faith. Each day, their courage becomes a little stronger. Their confidence, through the consistent culturing from their mom and coaching from their mom, have prepared them to soar with the rest of the eagles while living in a world full of turkeys. There you go, I said it. Most of you's already thinking it. That's why they call them turkey vultures. Unfortunately, Mom's little eaglets faces a little different challenge of things today. Your skills, Mom, your training them must be on the cutting edge with the necessary information that will deter them from the pitfalls that our culture has created. It's very evident that every generation has had its own set of challenges. Your generation is no different. But it's how we meet those challenges, or whether we turn the blind eye and let evil infiltrate the biblical values of our home, our church, and our lives. Someone once said that evil prevails when good men do nothing. So I take you to the challenge of a couple of mothers in the Bible. Mary, the mother of Jesus, had her challenges as well. It may seem so simple to what the challenges we have today, but can you imagine going back in your mind the things that Mary had to contend with? Going to Bethlehem from her home wasn't the greatest town in the whole wide world to have a baby in, especially in this town when it was so crowded, every Holiday Inn was completely full. Can you imagine? The birth pains was getting closer. A barn wasn't the most eloquent place to give birth. And to clothe her newborn baby with rags, no baby shower, no one come, but she still wrapped him lovingly in swaddling clothes. And think about this. A few days later, a long trip back home on a donkey, and we think we got issues. Can you imagine these last several days of the things that Mary was going through? I'm talking about the challenges that she faced in her time. Can you imagine the challenges and the questions that she had to ask herself these past few days and continued as Jesus was going up in the respect of Gabriel's message when he came to her? And then the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutations this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." And she said, "What?" Come on, moms. She probably had more to say than that, but okay. The message that came to Mary that she would be the mother of Jesus came with no owner's manual or instruction pamphlet. And then she had to retract her steps a few years later going back to the temple because they got way down the road and Jesus wasn't at the caravan. And you lost your kid at the Dogwood Festival. Mary's faced challenges in her day. No doubt. And yet, just a few things that I mentioned, again, seems very minute to the challenges that we face today. Nevertheless, they was challenges. Amen. Then I looked a little bit farther at a mama by the name of Jehochabed, which was Moses' mom, that knew the challenges of her time and took the steps with the threat of death to preserve her son. As I was looking over this, understanding that Jehochabed knew the challenges of her time. God speaks of a tribe in Jerusalem and Israel that knew the signs of the time and they knew exactly what to do, and it saved them. How important it is for our moms today to keep up with what's going on, knowing what your kids are doing, knowing what your kids are facing, and face the challenge of the time and know what to do and keep them from the vultures of our world. With her love, Jehochabed's love and devotion to Jehovah God, to the Israelites, he led her steps to know exactly what to do. Jehochabed, Moses' mom, was the provincial instrument in preserving the life of her son and the life of the nation in such a treacherous threat to the growth of the nation of Israel. Think about it. And I'm going to read the scripture why. In fact, I think I'll just do it right now. In Exodus chapter 2, verse number 10. The whole concept of this story is when the child grew up and they brought her to Pharaoh. As she was brought to Pharaoh. Excuse me, that's the wrong one. I'll get it right in a minute. It's hard being a mother on Mother's Day trying to preach a message. Let me just give you the synopsis. Because of the fear of the children of Israel growing, the nation growing so much, the king made a decree that all the male childs would be killed. Jehochabed knew the threat and knew the circumstances of that it would kill the race. So Jehochabed hid Moses for 3 months from the threat that all the firstborn boys of the Hebrews would be killed because of the growing and thriving nation of Israel. When she could no longer hide him, she made a basket. She put him in it, in the river, among the bulrushes, the reeds, the cattails. And she did all of this by faith, knowing the times that she lived in. Pharaoh's daughter found him while she was bathing in the river, and she had pity on him and took him in. And to God's providential grace, Moses' sister Miriam was standing around there close. Pharaoh's daughter had no idea, but knew that the baby needed a mother to take care of him. And not far off, there Miriam was, Moses' sister, watching her little brother and what his fate would be. When Pharaoh's daughter saw Miriam and told her about that, to find a nurse for him and that she would even pay for his care. Ain't that just like God? Taking care of every provision. If you'll put God first and take care of the challenges that are ahead of you, knowing what to do, God will pay the fare. Talk about providential love. Miriam took Moses back to their mother, which nursed him, raised him, nurtured him in the God of the Israelites. No doubt she taught him everything she could possibly think of about the God of the Hebrews. Now in Exodus chapter 2, verse 10 through 12. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I have drew him out of the water. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked on his brethren, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked his way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. Now make myself very clear. In no way is this message advocating that you raise your children as murderers. Rather, to stand against evil and raise leaders to expose a cultural corruption. Although we know little about Moses' mother, Jochebed, but we do know that she acted in faith, not fear, to raise, to protect, and care for her son, which would be the deliverer of their people. Are you ready for this one? How awesome. You see, as it turned out, the child that Jochebed delivered from the king's hand to be slaughtered would later become the deliverer of his mom and her people. Deliver them out of bondage and lead them toward the promised land. Can I tell you today, Mom, that you will never know the care and the acts of faith that you instill in your children, and how it is very possible you could impact a future of a generation in such a very significant way to be a deliverer or to stand in a culture of corruption. So moms, I pray that you consider the example of Jochebed and diligently pursue the purpose God has for you in the lives of your children. Can somebody say amen? I know perhaps this is not a real amening preaching sermon, but I hope today that I challenge your hearts, Mom, with the Word of God. Because I do love you and I do care, and God loves you and He cares, and He desperately needs a deliverer in this hour that we're living in. Then I looked a little farther, and a mother by the name of Rizpah, and we perhaps have read and heard about her, but her passion and her love for her boys was beside no other. 2 Samuel chapter 21, 5 through 10, then answered the king, "As for the men who destroyed us and plotted against us," so stay with me, I'm coming to the collusion of this story and the culmination of this message. "As for the men who destroyed us and plotted against us so that we had been discriminated or disseminated and have no place anywhere in Israel, let seven of his male descendants be given to us to be killed and exposed before the Lord of Gibeah of Saul, the Lord's chose one." So the king said, "I will give them you." What is the situation and circumstance in Rizpah's life? That back when King Saul had backslid against God and was doing his thing instead of God's thing, it had been a treaty and a commitment between the Gibeonites, which was descendants of the Amorites. It had been a treaty that Israel would not destroy them and Israel would not harm them, but let them live and let them be their own nation. But in Saul's zealous desires, he came against them and broke that treaty and killed many of their men. In fact, the Bible says he even tried to annihilate them because there was so many that had almost been destroyed in the Gibeonites. Sometime later, when David took the throne, there was three consecutive years of a drought. And David went to God and said, "God, what is the reason for this drought?" God said, "It's the sins of Saul and what he has done." So David called for the leaders of the Gibeonites and told them to come. Said, "We want to make restitution for all that has been done. So what can we do for you that there can be peace and God will bless us once again?" Gibeonites said, "We don't have any reason that we can ask for gold or silver of Saul and his portion and his family." Said, "If you will take seven of his sons," and in that period of time, did not necessarily mean his son's sons, but it could have been his grandsons or his great-grandsons. But if you'll take seven of his lineage, of his sons, and have them hung, have them destroyed, he said, we will be satisfied of all the lives of the Gibeonites that have been taken. David said, we can do that. So they chose two sons of Rizpah, and they chose five sons of another concubine of Saul's, and brought them before the king, and the king gave them over to the Gibeonites, and they took them out on a high hill, and they hung them. The Bible says all at one time they all went down. Okay? And I could read their names, but I can't read their names, some of them. But I want you to understand that in verse 10 of 2 Samuel chapter 21, and Rizpah, daughter of Ai, took sackcloth, and she spread it out for herself on a rock. From the beginning of harvest till the rains poured down from the heavens on their bodies, she did not let the birds of the air touch them by day, nor the wild animals by night. Even though her sons and her nephews was dead, hanging there on the gallows, she refused, because of her love as a mom, she refused to keep the vultures away from them and keep the vultures from picking their bodies apart in their society, in their time. And we think we got troubles. And yes, indeed, Mom, we certainly do. Rizpah's two sons and her five of her nephews become victims of circumstance. It is sad today as I bring this message to where I'm at today, but it is so sad today that our kids become victims of circumstance because of an absent mother that is not knowing the signs of the time. I'm here today to assure you, moms, not to criticize or to put you down, but to simply stir up your mind that we are in a spiritual warfare, and we cannot allow the circumstances of our time to allow the victims to be our sons and our daughters. Two of Rizpah's sons and five of her nephews become victims of circumstance because of King Saul's flagrant zeal as he come against the Gibeonites and attempted to annihilate them. This is why seven boys was put to death, as I explained to you. And out of the two mothers, Rizpah took it upon herself to protect the bodies of her sons and her five nephews for 5 months, keeping the vultures and the wild beasts from ravishing their bodies. I don't understand or know how in the world that we can keep from knowing in our society, in our culture, how the vultures and the wild beast are salivating while sucking the life out of our kids. And even now, they are being picked apart by bloodthirsty savages that circle above them, while few have seen the reason why there's such a need to protect them at all costs. Understand and separate. Rizpah loved them so much that she was willing to keep their flesh intact even while they hung dead. While today, we desperately need moms to step up to the plate along with the dads, if I might add, that they come to be protectors of our kids regardless of what they have to do to keep the vultures from eating their flesh and sucking the living life out of them. Moms, it's absolutely imperative. And while I hesitate for a moment to bring you these final words, early election is starting, I believe, tomorrow. Is that not right? And if you all desire to put my name on the ballot and take me away as pastor, feel free. But God's laid this on my heart, and I'm going to give it to you. Is that all right? I still love you, but we are in desperate warfare, and there ain't no time for fancy words. We must desperately teach our sons to have integrity. Knowing how to work and have the utmost respect for God's word in His house. To respect and treat girls and ladies according to the word of God. We must teach our girls that same love and respect for themselves as they honor God in their dress and their modesty. Moms, if we fail to teach our daughters modesty and how to respect and cover their bodies with dignity, you are asking for some pimple-faced, hormone-ravaged boy to misuse and abuse your daughter like a lady that walks the street. And I believe with all my heart that there is not one mother in here today that wants their daughter to be labeled as a streetwalker, at the same time professing to love Jesus Christ. So here today, and if I find my name on the ballot, I'm fine with that. Here today is just a small list of cultural trends. Here today is just a small list of cultural trends of the vultures that are doing their best to take out as many eaglets as they can. So, Mom, I challenge you today, and dads, to step up to the fight and destroy the threat of the vultures attacked. In our world, in our society today that has become so ungodly and ruthless, the saturation of media and technology has warped the minds of our kids. The rationale that challenges and associates with social media has perverted the minds of our kids. The ease and the access of pornography has permeated the fields of every aspect of the media and technology that we have today. And it is vitally important that you know what your kids are watching and where they're at and what's going on when they visit their friends. The harsh reality of child sexual abuse and sexual trafficking is at an all-time high. The attitude of entitlement has permeated the age field from very small to way too old that they should know better. The big toy companies, and I can tell you which ones if you want to know, and some of them I will expose. The big toy companies has taken advantage, listen to me, has taken advantage using dolls and other products to promote sexual perversion and the sexual messages and suggestions that they have. One example I've read, I refuse to repeat it behind the pulpit, but I will show you in person. This is the challenges that this generation faces today. This is the challenges, Mom, that your culture has brought to you, and that vultures are circling without fear until somebody gets the word of God and defends our kids. Netflix and TikTok, along with other companies, have targeted your children with all kinds of perversion, such as premarital sex, sex with the same sex, with animals, and lewd and perverse acts that are even uncommon in the animal world. Our world today is publishing and promoting books that should not even be on the publishing blocks, let alone finding their way in our school libraries. Thank you, Chris, for standing up. Our society and our world today is promoting drag queens, drag kings, and drag kids, and now have been exploited by perverse people like so-called Desmond and the magazines such as Teen Vogue and Nickelodeon. Sex education has saturated our schools with the idea that kids and teachers know better than their parents, and they can explore and change their gender without parental consent. This is where we are. This is where we are. It is happening. It's not going to happen. It is happening. There are people like Steve Kessner, Gail Rubin, and Judith Butler, which openly publishes and says yes, and even puts videos on TikTok with the ideas that child rape is fine. Publishing books like Thinking Sex, Pedophilia, and Adult Child Sex. I have not read these books, neither do I want to, and a warning was put out upon these that even looking and reading these books, it would be better to brush your teeth with a blowtorch than to let your eyes look at these books. There are so many more things that are so perverse that is making me sick and should make you sick. If ever before, you should protect your kids, and as they leave the nest, be ready to undergird them and teach them and show them how to soar. There are so many other things, again, like I said, that make me sick. Some doctors have given and confused kids and parents and has ministered the drug Lupron, which is a cross-sex hormone that blocks normal puberty. And believe it or not, the Biden administration has fully embraced it. I'm too old to back up. I'm too old to look over things. If you choose to, that's you. But right now, you know the truth because I'm telling it to you. We are threatened by vultures that are absolutely picking your kids apart. The things that Disney is now promoting, no Christian should ever go there or support anything they have to do with. That's my opinion. It's the way I see it, and I'm sticking with it. I will just simply tell you this. The rainbow is God's sign to us. It is His sign of mercy and grace. And to pervert that sign and rub it in God's face, there will be a day of judgments. To a world whose mind is on evil continually and perversion, judgment is at the door. I will tell you this, that the mercy and the grace of God is always available to those who want it. Can I say it again? While the vultures are circling, the mercy and the grace of God is always available to those that want it. But mercy and grace, church, will never become a reality until we confront in our lives the issues that mercy and grace was designed to cover. Mamas, you have some eaglets to protect. You have some fighting off of the buzzards till there's none left. I thank God for the fighting moms today. that you're not embarrassed by this message, but you take the challenge. You're not offended by this message, but you take the challenge. For you see, your challenge in this generation is tough. But God already knew. And He has equipped you with those things. And God Himself is challenging you, and He has designed you as a mom to step up for this generation's sake. Because He loves you, and He cares for you. And it is God's plan and it is God's provision for you to be a mama in just such a time as this. And how great it is that we face the challenges that has come to this generation, that we might stand for what's right and shun those things that are wrong. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I come to You, Lord, humbly, knowing that there is a grave battle that's going on for our kids today and in our culture and in our generation. But God, I know that You already knew. And Lord, that You have come for just such a time as this to anoint and to touch our moms and our dads in just such a time. Lord, that we might embrace Your word and bring it to the foreknowledge of those around about us, not fearing the vultures that are circling, but standing for truth, because Your word has declared that truth will set you free. Father God, I pray that You will touch each and every heart that's in this service today. Lord, that You will touch our moms specifically, and let the challenge come forth. And Lord, that You will raise them a mighty fighting force, Lord, for the things that we're facing in our society, in our world. For Lord, You're God, and we believe in You, and that Your will, Your word has set us free. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.